Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There are cases that nag at the edges of a community, cases that refuse to settle into the categories we try to place them into neatly. Accident, homicide, tragedy, wrongdoing, cases that linger in the air like humidity, impossible to ignore, impossible to resolve. And then there are cases like the death of Stephen Smith, not just unsolved, not just mishandled, but suspended in this strange half-light where the truth and rumor have lived side by side for nearly a decade. And now with the Hulu Murtaugh series pulling the curtain back on the dysfunction, the corruption, and the quiet terror that unfolded in South Carolina's Lowcountry, Stephen's name is suddenly back on people's lips. For many viewers, it's the first time they've heard it. For others, it's a reminder of a story that never got its proper investigation. But for the Smith family, this is their son. This is their brother. Their child who never came home. And despite the headlines, despite the whispers, despite every theory that has floated through Hampton County since 2015, the truth remains painfully, stubbornly out of reach. So let's tell the story the right way. Not as a footnote to the Murtaugh saga, not as a rumor, not as a campfire tale fueled by gossip, but as the life and death of a young man who deserved better from his community, from the system, from the people who were supposed to protect him. And while you're hearing this case, give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you. Hit subscribe wherever you are doing that. And also do check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe there. Help us get to 100,000 subscribers before the end of the year. Trying to do it. Maybe we'll do it. We'll get there soon. But I want to hear your thoughts in the comments under this video. So please do give me your feedback. Stephen Smith was 19 years old. He was a nursing student, bright, funny, outgoing, the kind of kid people remembered as gentle, sharp, and ambitious. He wasn't from privilege. He wasn't from power. He didn't have the kind of last name that got doors opened or charges dismissed or favors pulled. He was Stephen, a young man trying to carve out a future in a place where opportunities didn't exactly hand themselves out. He dreamed of becoming a nurse, helping people, building a life beyond the borders of a county where families' names carried more weight than laws sometimes did. And then, in the early hours of July 8th of 2015, Stephen was found dead in the middle of Sandy Run Road, a lonely, rural, two-lane stretch of asphalt in Hampton County. His body was lying in the roadway, his shoes were still on. His phone was still in his pocket, and down the road, his car sat on the shoulder with the gas cap open, as if he had run out of fuel, except like every other piece of this case, nothing about this explanation lines up neatly. The first troopers who arrived on the scene saw a reality that didn't match the call they'd been dispatched to. Dispatch said, pedestrian hit and run. Troopers saw no skid marks, no glass, no broken car parts, no debris, no sign of a vehicle impact. No sign Stephen had been struck with the force required to cause the trauma he had suffered. As one investigator famously put it, this is not a vehicle versus pedestrian scene. But despite the trooper's observations, despite the unusual wound patterns, despite the absence of any physical evidence indicating a vehicle collision, Stephen's death was quickly lumped onto a familiar category, hit and run. Case closed, or at least filed away. This is where the outrage begins, because the moment you start looking at the early investigative paperwork, you see contradictions stacked on contradictions. A coroner suggesting a possible gunshot wound, though later clarified without supporting ballistic evidence, a pathologist ruling vehicle impact without vehicle evidence, troopers raising flags that were ignored, a rural sheriff's office and highway patrol division that didn't coordinate well, and a small community whispering things about powerful families that investigators either couldn't touch or chose not to pursue. And this brings us to the piece of the story everybody brings up, even when they shouldn't. The Murdaugh name. Let's address it directly, clearly, responsibly, and factually. There has been no physical evidence connecting any member of the Murdaugh family to Stephen Smith's death. There have been no charges, no warrants, no forensic links, no statements from SLED tying them to the homicide, and no findings from the independent autopsy that implicate them. When people talk about the Murdaugh connection, they're referring to rumor, community chatter, high school gossip, and the extreme influence that family held in Hampton County. Does Buster Murdaugh's name appear in the early case file? Yes, because locals mentioned him when investigators asked around, not because of evidence. Because of the whisper network that surrounded the Murdaugh name long before the double homicide of Maggie and Paul. It is important to acknowledge those rumors, yes, because they shape public perception and frankly may have shaped the hesitation of early investigators. But is there any evidence tying Buster or Annie Murdaugh to Stephen's death? No. There never has been, and SLED has said so repeatedly. And that's why this story must be told without leaning on the easy, dramatic, ready-made headline about dynastic corruption. This isn't about dragging someone into a case because their last name is synonymous with power and scandal. It's about Stephen. And it's about the real, viable investigative leads that actually exist. The leads that were there in 2015 and were ignored. The leads that resurfaced in 2021 when SLED reopened the case. And the leads being followed today in what is officially classified as homicide. So what are those leads? Let's start with the timeline. Stephen leaves home the night before. His car runs out of gas, or at least appears to have. He ends up on Sandy Run Road, several miles from his vehicle. Did he start walking for help? Did someone stop to assist? Did he get into a car with someone he knew? Those are the questions investigators tried to answer. And then there's the biggest question. If Stephen was struck by a vehicle, where is the evidence of that vehicle? Where is the debris? Where are the injuries consistent with being hit by a car moving at typical speed on a rural road? Why were his shoes still on? If you know anything about hit and runs, if you hit somebody, their shoes usually come off. It's just the way it works. Why did the injury pattern suggest something completely different, possibly a blow from an object or being struck by something other than a car? When SLED reopened the case in 2021, they did it with intention. They did it because something they found while investigating the murders of Maggie and Paul pointed backward, not toward a murder, but toward the fact that Stephen's death had never been properly investigated in the first place. It was enough for them to consult new forensic experts, enough for them to begin re-interviewing witnesses, enough for them to completely reject the hit-and-run explanation. And then came 2023, when Stephen's mother, who never once accepted the official explanation, raised funds for an independent autopsy. This exhumation wasn't done lightly. It wasn't done for spectacle. It was done because she believed there were answers buried with her son. That autopsy confirmed what she feared. Stephen was a victim of a homicide. That was the turning point. SLED stepped forward publicly and said Stephen's death is not an accident, not a hit and run, not an unfortunate roadside tragedy. It's a homicide. And that changes everything. Because once a death is officially classified a homicide, investigators are required to ask entirely different questions about motive, opportunity, relationships, conflicts, secrets, and lies. They have to look at who Stephen knew, who he interacted with, who may have had reason to harm him, and more importantly, what names came up repeatedly in interviews. And here's where the case gets very real very quickly. There were people, not Murdaugh's, who allegedly made statements that raised immediate red flags back in 2015. Statements like, he was hit by my truck, or I know who did it. Names that were documented by investigators at the time. One of them allegedly told someone he had hit something the night Stephen died. Troopers tried to follow up, but the investigation was never properly escalated. Is that the answer to the mystery? Not necessarily. They've denied involvement. They've never been charged. But to say they are solid leads is not speculation. It's literally in the investigative files. And unlike the rumor mill that tried to drag the Murdaugh name into the narrative, those leads come from actual interviews, actual statements, and actual records. This is where the case should have gone from the start, towards people making weird comments, towards individuals who placed themselves near the scene, towards people with vehicles that could have been examined. Instead, it went somewhere else entirely. It went into the shadowy realm of small-town influence and speculation, a realm where the loudest rumor often drowns out the quiet facts. So where does this case stand today? We know this. Stephen's death is an active homicide investigation. A grand jury has been impaneled. SLED has persons of interest. New forensic opinions state conclusively that he was not hit by a vehicle. And investigators appear to be focusing on those with believable ties to Stephen, credible statements placing them near the scene, and inconsistencies in early interviews. Stephen's family continues to fight for answers, for justice, for their son to be treated the way any other homicide victim would be. They spent years being dismissed, patronized, gaslit, and overlooked. They've been expected to trust the process in a county where the process has long been controlled by a family now exposed for corruption, financial crimes, and systematic manipulation. And here's the hybrid tone, sharper-edged truth. If Stephen Smith had been born with a different last name, the case would not have been shelved in 2015. If he had been from a family with influence, there would have been a full forensic entrance wound analysis, reconstruction teams, warrants, subpoenas, the whole nine yards. Instead, it was written off quickly, conveniently, and in a way that allowed the community to stop asking uncomfortable questions. But people are asking now, and they're not going away. So let's be clear about what this case really is. Not rumor, not distraction, not a sensational footnote. It's the unsolved homicide of a teenager whose life mattered. It's a case with legitimate leads that were ignored. It's a case now being re-examined with modern science, proper resources, and national pressure. It's a case that hinges not on powerful families or Hulu documentaries, but on real people who said real things that investigators are finally chasing with the seriousness they always deserved. Someone knows exactly what happened to Stephen Smith. Someone knows why he ended up in the middle of that road. Someone knows how he got from his car to that stretch of asphalt. Someone knows who he was with. Someone has lived for nearly 10 years with the truth of this boy's death. And sooner or later, whether through forensic clarity, grand jury pressure, witness conscience, or simply the inevitability of this, the truth is going to surface. Because every cold case reaches a point where silence becomes heavier than confession. And every person who carries a secret this big eventually learns that time is not their friend. It is their enemy. And when the truth comes out, and it will, it won't be because of rumors. It won't be because of dynastic gossip. It will be because investigators finally followed the right leads, asked the right questions, and refused to let another Lowcountry tragedy slip quietly into the swamp. Stephen deserved better than what he got in 2015. He deserves answers in 2025, and he deserves a community and country willing to tell his story based on facts, not fear. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Check it out. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That is where you will find us. I'd love to get your thoughts under our video and get your feedback. Please do hit subscribe while you are there. And hit subscribe if you're listening to our podcast, wherever it may be. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.